Okay, can anybody hear me? Am I muted?
No, we can hear.
Okay. We left off in the middle of a few topics. Let's see. And the Tosis on Kuf, Dibra Maskam Aimi Shonim. So Tosis writes that, no, Tosis quotes from the Bahag, that the difference between Maim Rishonim and Maim Achrayim, Maim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Maim Achrayim is a chayva. A mitzvah means that you recite a birchas hamitzvah before you wash Maim Rishonim. Okay, kol hamitzvah is kulam mevarech alayim moed v'lasi hasam. And Maim Achrayim is a chayva, it's something you have to do, but we don't label it as a mitzvah. You have to do it to take care of your health. That's how the Rambam writes also in Hilchas Brachas. When the Rambam writes about the washing the tilis adayim, so he says, you don't say a bracha ma'im achrayim because it's only mishum sakana. So the Ravid has a hasaga on the side of the Rambam. And the Ravid writes that the Ridvan Ardav quotes it. There seems to be a contradiction between the two Gemaras. Our Gemara says that ma'im achrayim is because of Melech Sedomis, and it's Mesames Tainayim, it's only because of a chashash sakana. You wash Mayim Achrayim because of the love of Nishmat Miod and Rav Shasech, Misham Pen V'Yal is a licensing. You're not allowed to do anything that will be detrimental to your health. So you shouldn't rub your eyes with the salt in your fingers. It's like you don't say a bracha when you salt the meat, because salting the meat or removing the chaleb is just in order to prevent you, to protect you from violating an Issa. It's the same over here. You wash Mayim Achrayim to protect us, to prevent us from violating the Avera. Putting our eyes b'sakana. So Agamar presents it that Mayim Achrayim is only Mishum Sakana, the Melech Sedomis, even though there's only a tiny bit, a quart, a speck, and and an eifah, but still you have to be concerned about it. And the Gemara in Brachas, that the Tosfos quoted the Gemara in Brachas, Dafnun Beis, Dafnun Gimel, Vis Kadishna, Vis and Kadoshim, Pasuk in the end of Parsha Shmini, his kaddish them elamayim rishonim yis and kadosh elamayim achrayim sounds like the idea behind mayim achrayim is mishum kedusha. So it's not only to protect your health. It's a totally different explanation. Isn't it a contradiction? So the Ravid says, the Ravid in the Hasoga says, it depends what you ate. If you ate, The Gemara says there in Brachas, Keshem Shemzuham Posel Avoida, Kach Yedam Zuham is Psulas Lebrachim. It's not Derech Eretz. It's not proper to say a bracha with sticky fingers, unless I just had some kind of ice cream or I had some kind of cake, and the cake is full of gook, full of goo, and my fingers are all sticky, and then I want to say Alamichya. I want to say Barnefoshes or whatever. So you shouldn't say burn the flesh. It's with sticky fingers. If his fingers are sticky, you wouldn't touch your shirt. You wouldn't touch your gemara. So you shouldn't say bracha. That's called yadayim zohamas. So if a person ate a dova sheyesh bazuhama, something that's a dova lach, that's going to be sticky on your fingers, then the gemara in bracha says that washing mayim achrayim before reciting the bracha achrayim is v'yisim kadoshim, and you should say a bracha. The Ravid thinks you don't say the bracha on the tilis yadayim. You should say al rechitzis yadayim, some other lashon. Why should you say a different bracha? Because it doesn't have all the dinim of netilas yadayim. You don't need davke kerech gavre, whatever other. You don't need davke revius. You don't need all the dinim of maim rishayim. So you should say a bracha, but a different nusach bracha. But if the person ate a double gush, he was holding something in his hand and he ate it. He ate bread. So the fingers are not sticky. So there's no issue of yadayim zahama. So then you have to wash maim achronim, not because of the yisim kedoshim, not because yadayim zahama's psulus lebracha, but rather because of melech sedomis. When you're only washing for the consideration melech sedomis, so then the Rambam is right that no bracha will be recited. And then the Bahag is right. The Rambam got it from the Bahag. Then the Bahag is right that a bracha is not recited. But whenever you ate a dov halach and the fingers are sticky, so then when you say, when you wash my machrenim, one should recite the bracha. That's what it says in the Raivet and the Hasagas on the Rambam. In Perek Vav in Hilchas Brachas. The Ritvor quotes it a little more Baharchava. Maybe other Rishonim also quoted. I only looked in the Ritvor. So the Ritvor adds a little bit more. Let's say one person is going to bench, and in the days of the Gemara, when they would bench Mezumin, so only the Mezamin would say the Birchas Hamas, and the others would just say Amen. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch quotes Rishonim who recommend that Bizman Azeh, people don't always pay attention when other people are speaking. So it's hard to concentrate. I should listen to the whole benching and just say Amen at the end. I may miss a word here and there. So that's why the Mechaber quotes Rishonim recommend you should say along, even when you bench Mezumin and Meikar Adin. You could have relied just on listening to the Mezamin say. He recommends everybody should say along. But then they said, Gemara, only one person said. So the Ritvor quotes the Ravid a little more Baharchab. He says, the one who's going to say the benching, he has to wash my machrenim before he benches. Because Yadayim Zahamas Psulas Lebracha goes on the one who's reciting the Bracha. The listeners, they're not saying the Bracha. So they don't have that consideration of Yadayim Zahamas Psulas Lebracha. They're being Yotze the Bracha by saying Amen, but they're not reciting the Bracha. So they only have to wash my machrenim because of the consideration of Melech Sedomis. So for that, you wouldn't say a Bracha. Interesting. And then the listeners can wash my machrenim after the Birchas HaMazon is over. The one who's reciting the Mezamein, who's benching Mezumin, is saying the Birchas HaMazon, he has to wash my machrenim before he says the benching. But the ones who are listening, they can wash my machrenim after the benching is over. Yeah, I left out the line in Tosfos. Tosfos has a line. The first white line in the Tosfos, "Dibra Mascha Mayim Rishonim Adap Kufem Ad Aleph Mikan Kosa Rabbeinu Yehuda B'Perek Bamem Adlikin." That's one of the Balei Tosfos, probably Rabbi Yehuda Silion. Kosa Rabbeinu Yehuda B'Tosfos She'en Lebarach Akriya Shema Shel Fnei Amita She'gisham Tzitzvanu Likros Hashma. How do you see from our Gemara? That's based on the assumption that Kriya Shema Al Amita is for the purpose of Shmira Min Hamazikin. That's how the Gemara says in Brachas in the first pair. Kriya Shema Lamito is a shmira for the mazikin. And if a person is a Talmud Chacham, that he doesn't need any shmira min hamazikin, the Torah will be megan on him, but he should still say a few psukim of biotcha av kedruchi, psukim of rachmin. So since it's shmira min hamazikin, that's only because I'm in a shmarta miyoda nafshan sechem. So he's saying Kriya Shema in order not to violate the iser of inishmat meod and nafshin sechem, shouldn't go to sleep without protection. So whatever is only mishum sakani, you don't say a bracha. Okay. Yeah, we were learning a little bit the bottom tosfos on kuf dalet on the day. It's the ramaskal ofu gvino. Tosfos raises an issue there. That the Gemara says, it sounds like there's a machlekes b'shame b'silo. The last two lines on kuf dalet on the base and continues over to kuf hey omer aleph. In between fleshiks and milchiks, what do you have to do? So b'shame say mikaneach. You should chew something. You're going to chew matzah. So matzah is not going to get out the stuff. If they would have toothbrushes, they would have said, "Mikane out, use a toothbrush and get out whatever is caught in between the teeth." They didn't have toothbrushes. They say, choose some kind of a food that will clean out whatever particles of food are stuck in between the teeth. So what can you choose? If you're going to choose something that's very, very soft, so it's not going to get anything out. If you're going to choose something that's very hard, like matzah, also not going to get anything out. The matzah is brittle, is going to break. You have to choose something that's not too soft and not too hard, and it'll succeed in pulling out, it'll do the job that's normally done with a toothbrush. Okay, so Bisham I say mitaneh. Zilami mediach. Mediach, pashup shat, mediach means you wash your fingers. Mediach means you wash your fingers. And other Rishonim say that you wash your hands. Okay, so you need, so what does it mean? It's a machlekes, Bisham and Misil. The Gemara says, no, mara machada, mara machada, velo pligi, they don't disagree. What does it mean, mara machada, velo pligi? So that's a machloikas of Rishonim. So Rashi and Tosfos learn Tosfos Dibur Maschil Mikaneach. Well, then the Medich Travayhu Beinu and Kedepirish Bekunchu Zechem Pirish Abin Chananel. Rashi and Tosfos learn Pshat are based on Abin Chananel that Bisham and Bisil say you need both. You need Kinuch VeHadochem. You need both. And other Rishonim, the Rashbo, and other Rishonim say no, it means either or. Bisham and Bisil don't disagree. Each one agrees with the other, either A or B. Either kinoch or hadocha. Fine. So these are tanoim. Bisham and Bisil are early tanoim, possibly from the Zman Abayis, and they say kinoch v'hadocha. Then you get to the Gemara Marukva, he says he would wait till the next meal. So how does this, let's say, if the next meal means like the Rambam, 6 hours later, kamosh shtei shoas, you don't need kinoch v'hadocha. If the 6 hours is in your day, you don't need kinoch v'hadocha. So it doesn't even mean 1 hour. If you say it means 1 hour, also, after an hour, you're still going to have to be worried about kinoch v'adocha, probably not. So how does Marukva's wait till the next meal, how does that fit in with the kinoch v'adocha? So Tosfos has a machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam, another Rishonim. That's here, on Kuv Dalet Amud Beis, the bottom Tosfos. So some Rishonim say that you need kinuch v'hadocha and wait till the next meal. You need everything. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you don't need everything. Either waiting till the next meal is a midas chasidus, a personal midas chasidus of Marukva, just like his father had a personal midas chasidus to wait 24 hours. So he, the son, had a personal chumrah to wait till the next meal, but mikra din, all you need is kinuch v'adocha, what Bisham and Bisil said, all you need is kinuch v'adocha. And that's only a midas chasidus. And the other suggestion is, no, that that it's either or. Either you do kinuch v'adocha, then you can have the milchiks in the same meal, or if you wait till the next meal, then you don't need kinuch v'adocha. It's either one or the other. So these were the two pshatim. How to put up all the pieces of the puzzle together. Bisham and Bisil talk about kinoch v'adocha, does mean either or, does mean both. So Rashi and Tosfos say it means both together. And then Marukva talks about the next meal. If next meal is 6 hours later, that does make sense with kinoch v'adocha. 6 hours later, you don't need kinoch v'adocha. If it means right away, like Tosfos says, so then Tosfos had the 2 days. Is he adding on to Bisham and Bisil? You need both, or it's either or. Either this or the other. So this was the machlokes and Rishonim. Let's see, where do we leave off? Then the Gemara made a comment that Netilas Yadayim Bein Tapshil LeTapshil is optional. Maim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Maim Achrayim is a chayva, and Ben Tapshil Etapshil is a rishus. What is the Netilas Yadayim Ben Tapshil Etapshil? So that's a machlokes and Tosfos between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam is the older brother of the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Tosfos Ankuf Hey Yom Beis quotes this machlokes. Amar Rabbeinu Shmuel, that's Rashbam, the Mari Bishneim Shal Basneim Shneim Shal Gvina. Not between fleshigs and milchigs. Avol bein tapshil shal basar, Legvina shelefanav chayva. That's kinuach v'adocha. Of course, you have to wash. If you had cheese first and your fingers are sticky with cheese, you have to do hadocha, wash your fingers. That was before. Unless it's bayom and you see that there's nothing stuck on your fingers. And then you have to have the kinuach. You have to brush your teeth. Or choose something that'll get out whatever particles of cheese are caught in between the teeth. That's so why do you, so if you're talking about shneim shel basnim, shneim shel gvina, so what does it mean? What's the rishus? If you want to, there's no inyan of halachah. So Rabbi Natam thinks it doesn't make any sense. Any other Rabbi Natam, it doesn't make any sense. Why should he? They're both flesh, both milk. Why should he wash? What's the meaning of this chassidus to wash? It sounds like it's a rishus as halachic issue. Why should he just use a mefunek? That's why he wants to wash in between. So Ben Tam thinks that in tapshel the tapshel is a rishus in halacha. It's not required, but alpidin is recommended. And it's a meaning of chassidus. What is it talking about? He says the only time you had it in before, if you want to have fleshiks and milchiks, you have to have kinruach v'adocha with another suda. Okay. The suda acheres, or either this or that, however you put together the various gemaras, that's if you're having flesh and you're having cheese. What if you're having a tapshel shogvina and a tapshel shogbasa? I'm having chicken soup, but it doesn't have any chicken in it. I'm just having the liquid from the soup. But it has the flavor of the chicken. I'm having some kind of a maichel that was cooked, it was cooked with butter, or it was cooked with, it's a milchig maichel, but it's not a piece of cheese. It's a milchig tapshil. So that's what the Gemara says, being tapshil shel basar, the tapshil shel gvina, tapshil shel gvina, the tapshil shel basar. You don't even need the kinuach v'adoch. You just shouldn't eat both bevasachas. You shouldn't eat both bevasachas. Mufarish made the time tapshal the tapshal haina, metapshal the basa, tapshal shogvina. Given the ena basa v'agvina b'en, not that if you're eating flesh and then you want to have cheese, so then you have to have kinuach v'adoch with the suda acheres, either both or one or the other. But it just had a tapshal shal basa and a tapshal shogvina. So it's a midas chassidus to do kinuach v'adoche. Nitilus yadayim bein tapshal tapshal midas chassidus. But mikra din, it's really rishus. The chachamim didn't require it. Now Rashbam seems to disagree. That's what we usually assume. That yeah, even if, let's say, I have a potato kugel and they put in schmaltz. To make it taste even better, has a schmaltz from meat. So we consider that fleshig, and we would say you have to wait 6 hours. If, let's say, the shachrites over there, let's say we had a fleshig pot, and we finished all the flesh in the pot, and then I made a part of a kugel in the fleshig pot, and there was a little bit of schmaltz left over. I didn't put in the schmaltz on purpose in order to give the potato kugel the flavoring of the schmaltz of the meat. I was just lazy. I didn't bother. It's a fleshig pot anyway. So I made the kugel in a fleshig pot. I'm not going to eat the kugel with milch. I'm going to eat it with fleshig. Let's say I only had a bit of the kugel and I didn't have any flesh. Do you have to wait 6 hours after that? So the shach says that you don't have to. Shach says on your day, you only have to wait if they put in the schmaltz on purpose. The tapshel shalbasa was they put in schmaltz on purpose to give it the flavoring of the schmaltz. But if the schmaltz was just there, let's say in some of the takeout places, so they make, they have a lot of oil, and they make deep fried French fries, and they'll do hot dogs there also. And instead of having two different containers, two different pots with oil in it, so they use the same pot. So when they do the... when they do the hot dogs, they'll do it in the same pot. And then afterwards, they'll do French fries in the same pot. But they're putting the French fries in, not that the customers are interested in having the flavor of the schmaltz of the hot dogs in the French fries. The storekeeper is not interested in spending twice as much money to have two different containers of oil. So he does the French fries in the same container of oil that he did the hot dogs. So then you don't have to wait 6 hours after that, even though he clearly didn't have shishim against the tam of the schmaltz in the French fries, but it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't for the purpose of giving tam. Okay, so we don't really, okay. So the Rabbi in Tam says that if you're only eating tapshel shel basar means they put in the schmaltz on purpose. He says you don't need kinoch v'adocha. You don't need any of the harchag. We don't follow that. We assume that if it's a tapshel shel basar, they put in the schmaltz on purpose to give it the flavoring, then it has the din like basar. Then yeah, you have to wait 6 hours. We'll have to get back to Tap Rashi on Kufem and Beis about Nishtanam Torah's mind. We'll have to get back to that. We need some more Gemara later. So where did we leave off in the Gemara? The Gemara is a Shaila. You're concerned about washing my Machreinim because of Melech Sodom is, what if you're not eating food that you may have dipped into the salt? You call milchamai. I'm measuring melech. I'm packaging it and putting it away. You have to wash until it's a dime. After that, you didn't eat anything. Amalei, lo mibay. Of course you have to wash. Kal v'chaimer. Some have the gears of kolshken. Of course you have to wash. It's like mayim achreinim. Even though you didn't eat anything. Then the Gemara says, Abayi says, he misunderstood a lot of things, and then they were explained to him. Amar Rabbi Meresh originally Havamina on the last narrow line, and then goes over to the first white line. Meresh, when I was younger, I thought Havamina used to say Adel Moshe Mai Basuroi Alara. Why don't we wash until the Siddha Mai Machreinim on the floor? Some people do. They wash Mai Machreinim. They pour it on the floor. It's not right. So the Gemara says you shouldn't do that. Mishum Zuhamo, because it's going to dirty the floor. Amalimar, so then Abai was a Yosem, he was raised by his uncle, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. So Amalimar, so his Rabbi, his uncle, told him that's not the reason why. Even if there's no issue of Zuhama, it's a problem of Rochram. Then he had a whole bunch of things. I'm Rabbi, he said, Mireish originally, Havamina used to say, Hagdolo Shokol Midimit Pasoira. A person picks a cup to drink, a cup of wine, so you shouldn't take anything off of the table. Maybe the fellow will be upset why he's taking something off of the table, and he'll start to talk in the middle while he's drinking, and he'll choke. The Gemara says in Tainus that you're not allowed to talk in the middle of eating a meal, because you may act in conlevation. The person may choke in the middle. It's not healthy. So he thought that the reason why you shouldn't take anything off of the table, when someone is about to drink something, that he may get upset while he's taking it off. Amalei Mars, and my uncle Rabbi told me that's not the reason. Some kind of ruach ra. Okay. And then he says, well, that's only if Shaka Vilayim had it. He takes off a bottle of soda, he walks to the other table. So this fellow may be upset. Why do you take the bottle of soda? I want to drink some more. But if he takes it off for a moment and he's going to put it back, it's obvious. Only shaka v'lay mehed abul mishkal v'aduri leisam v'ermei al-chutz v'dalam. So he's walking away. But if he's one end of the table to the other end of the table, so that no one's going to get so upset about that. V'toch d'alam is leisam v'olam al-amidi d'tzorch l'sudosam. They're taking off something that's part of the meal. They're going to take off some soda, some challah. So maybe the one who's about to drink wants to have some of that. But let's say they left the cell phone on the table. The cell phone is not part of the meal. It doesn't belong on the table. They left the sefer on the table. Sefer doesn't belong on the table, unless the person may want to say a Dvar Torah. So then he may get upset. But if you're going to take something off of the table that doesn't have a shaychus, but the meal, then it's not, and the guy's not going to get upset. Midalat zorch v'sudosa leslumba. Ma'abar avashi kopit afilo asito buchno d'tabli. Midalat zorch v'sudosa. They have a little mortar and pestle to grind up vegetables, to grind up tavlin, to grind up spices. So he would be makpid. He would mark, no one should take it off of the table. They may want to use it in the middle of the meal. In the fancy restaurants, they grind up the spices right before, when they give you the soup, they grind up the spices on the table and you put it in right away. Instead of putting it in the kitchen, you put it in right away because the spices will be freshly ground. They'll taste even better. Right? So then what does he say? The Amar Abay, a lot of things that he misunderstood. Mireish originally, Hava Amina, I used to say, Hadikanchi Nashvaro. When a person eats and he cuts challah, so there are little crumbs all over the table. So the minig would, the practice, common practice would be, the people would collect together all the crumbs and eat them or throw them out in the garbage, or whatever. But they wouldn't just throw the crumbs on the floor. So he thought, Shuman Kirusa, you want to have a neat table. You want to be. You don't want to be sloppy and messy. I'm Limar, but my uncle Rabbi told me Shem Dekashelani Yusa, that it's a school of Farshiris. It's a if a person leaves crumbs and he throws it away, he lets it just fall on the floor. So that's there's a malach who's memuna on Ashiris and on Anias who will be upset about that. So the Gemara tells a story. The malach who's memuna on poverty was trying to get him. He can never catch him because the person was always careful not to do anything that will violate the rules and regulations of Anias and Ashiris. So what happened was, Yom Echad, he was very careful. He was very careful about the crumbs. Yom Echad, one day, Korach Lifto, Ayable. One day, he was cutting the challah, ripping of a piece of the challah on the grass. And it wasn't Shaykh, what is going to go pick up all the crumbs on the grass? So the Omar said, this Malach HaMumun Al-Haniyah said, and now I got him. Hashtabadai Nafal Biyadoi. Now he fell into my hands. And he's going to leave all the crumbs all over, and that's going to bring to Anias if you're not careful about the crumbs. So what did the fella do? Basadoch left, he finished eating. I see more. He took the shovel, Akrinu Liavle. He took the whole area where he was eating that possibly had crumbs. He dug up the whole thing, and he dumped it into the river. So the fish would be able to eat up the crumbs. He wouldn't leave the crumbs there. He went to that extent. So he overheard the Balabas who did this, overheard this Malach say, Shami, the Kama. Excuse me. Hello. No, it can't be Mitzaref if they're in two different places. It's somewhere in the car, somewhere not in the car. No. You shouldn't put yourself in Sakana. It's a big kavod ames that everything should be done by Yisraelim. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, even the digging of the grave was done by Yisraelim, unless the kfura was done at Yom Tov, then they had nothing to do. So today we don't have that practice. The digging of the kever is done by Nochrim all the time. But the lowering into the kever and the filling up, that's we're always careful to do Ayyidah Yisrael, that's Kavanah Meis. But it's dangerous now, so I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think a person should. Right. The 10 people have to be. I think you have to have all. I don't think those in the car are not mitzdarfim because it's like a different rishus. Yeah. You have to have all 10 should be out of the car. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Pashta says like that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear. Yeah. Okay. So the Balabas who did this Midas Chassidus, that he took a shovel and he dug up all the stuff and he threw it into the river so the fish should eat the crumbs. He overheard this Malach HaMemunah Al-Aniyah say, Woe unto me, he kicked me out of my own house. I thought I got him already, because he's not careful with the crumbs, and the balabos was careful even there. Then he says, Abai says another thing. I used to think when I was younger, a lot of times when you pour in beer or you pour in a drink, so there are bubbles for an inch. Then it takes a while till the bubbles all go down. So the practice would be that people wouldn't drink the bubbles. Why? Mishum de kasha. Kasha. What is it? Where is it again? Mishum de isusa. He thought that the reason why the people don't drink the bubbles because it's not nice. It's not proper. You should drink the beer. You shouldn't drink the bubbles. But then Amali Ma, but my uncle told me that's not the only reason why. Mishum de kosher lacharsem. What does that mean? What does it mean kosher lacharsem? Rim rabbi menachotem. It'll cause the nose to run. And the nose is going to run, it's going to fall into his mouth, going to fall into the food. So you don't do that. Shut. So then he sums it up and he says, Mishtiye, if you drink the bubbles on top of the beer, kosher lacharsem. If not healthy, it's going to cause, for some reason or another, medically, it's going to cause the nose to run and it's going to make you a mess. Minkachbe, if you blow it to the side, you blow the bubbles to the side before you're about to drink the beer, kosher lereisha. What's kosher lereisha? What does Rashi say? I don't know, somehow it'll affect your head. Umitcheye, and if that's if you blow on it. And mitche, if you push it to the side with a spoon, is kosher lani yusa. So what do you do? You have a half an inch of bubbles over there. You want to drink it. Matakante, what should you do? L'shakesh kui. You should take a spoon and push in the bubbles, or wait till all the bubbles disappear by themselves. Or you can hasten it, shakesh kui, push it in. Then the Gemara says, and what should you do if you did drink it? L'charsim dechamra, if you drank the bubbles on top of the wine, what should you do to heal your condition? Their nose is going to run, so he says you should have shikra. You should drink some beer. What if you filled up a cup of beer and you drank the bubbles of the beer? This shikra, if you drank the bubbles of the beer, what should you do as a medication for that? Maya. You should drink some water afterwards. What if you have bubbles in the water also and you drank the bubbles in water? Leisle takanto. If you only drank water, the bubbles on top of the water, there's no medical recommendation what to do after that. That's what people say. The poor get poorer and the rich get richer. So the wealthy people who can afford to drink wine and they make a mistake and they drank the bubbles on top of the wine so they can drink beer. The wealthy people who can afford to buy beer and they drank the bubbles on top of half an inch of bubbles on top of the beer. So they have a recommendation, a medical recommendation, drink some water. The poor people never. All they can afford is water. They can't afford wine. They can't afford beer. So if they have bubbles on top of the water, leislei takanto. The nebuch, the poor get poorer. The poor who get stuck because they drank the bubbles on top of the water. So there's no medication for that. Okay. The Amar Rabbi Mireish Havamin, I used to think had the lach yarka mikisha, the osa ginoa, the farmer is the ginoa who has a garden, a ginoa. So they would tie the vegetables together. So people would be careful not to eat the vegetables when they're still tied up together. Let's say sometimes you have a bunch of carrots tied up together. You have some vegetables tied together. So you don't eat the vegetables when they're still tied. So Mishum de Mexica, Rab Sanusa. Let's say a guy's going to take a long Italian bread. He's going to bite into it. It's so big, you're not going to eat the whole thing now. So you cut off a little piece. And you say, how much do you eat? Eat the little piece. You don't bite into the whole thing. So here also is Mexica Rapsanusa. The carrots are still tied together and he's already biting into the carrots. Wait till you take off the the string that ties it all together and take one carrot and bite into it. But then he heard from his uncle Rabbi, Amali Mar, my uncle told him the kasha l'kshafim. It's a bigger reason than that. Not only mechsika rab sanusa, it's unhealthy because of kshafim. Yeah. Then the Gemara tells this story that Rabbi and Rab Chizda were once going on a boat and a nochris wanted to go with them. Osvam b'hadaihu, please allow me to go on the boat with you. Lo asvur, they wouldn't permit her to go on the boat. Amram, so she said something kind of, she said some type of incantation. She said some kind of a kishuv. Osvasa liarba, she caused the boat to stop and it couldn't move. Amru ina milsa shayu. So they said some incantation and they undid the kishuv that she had made and the boat continued to go. Amalahu, wow, what can I do? You people, you know all the antidotes to everything. My Abid Lahu, the Lamakanech Lahu Bekaspa. When we go to the bathroom, we use toilet paper. Days of Gemara, they didn't have that. So they used to either use little pebbles, or some people would use a piece of chaspa, a piece of cheres. So those who use cheres, they are subject to suffer from someone else's kishuf. But he said the Jewish people were always careful. The rabbis, Rav Chizda, Rabbi Avuna, they were always careful never to use chasp on the Beis HaKisei. And whenever you have a bug crawling on your begodim, on your clothing, they wouldn't kill the lice. And you never eat the vegetables when they're still tied up with the knot that the gardener made. So apparently these things are, these three things that the Amoraim were careful about, you have to be careful. Otherwise, someone who knows Kishuf, like that Matrinisa, that Nachris, will be able to put you in a difficult position. Yeah. Then what does he say? He's saying a list of things that he always thought one way, and then Rabbi told him that it's more than what he thought. The Yom Rabbi, another thing. Mireish originally have Amin Ha'adaliach Le'yarkad Nafalatako. If a piece of vegetable fell on the table, you don't eat it. Mishum b'yisuso, because maybe got dirty with the other things on the table. Amli Marsa, my uncle told me no. Shum dekoshel derech hapet. It's a bigger problem than that. It would be bad for bad breath. Then he says, originally he thought, Mireish Amin Ha'adaliasvi Toisim Azeva. You have the drain pipe that the water goes down from the roof down the drain pipe. So he thought the reason why you don't sit near the bottom of the drain pipe is because somebody upstairs may wash the floor, or may have washed the dishes, or may have based on kisi upstairs. Then they're going to throw all the dirty water. Dirty water that was used is called shayfim. So somebody may throw the dirty water down the drain pipe. You're going to be sitting on the ground level next to the end, the bottom end of the drain pipe. So it's going to be shum shofchim. It'll all go on lip, and all the dirty water will hit you. Amalimar, so my uncle told me it's worse than that. Shum nishchichem azikim. Because they're at the bottom of the drain pipe, there's a dangerous location that they're always malachei chavolah. They're mazikim over there. So Gemara tells a story. Ano shakaloi, there was once a group of tregas, people who would transport other people's merchandise. They would carry merchandise. They would push it in a wagon or something that carried on the shoulders. Ano shakaloi, the habador chavita de chamra. They were schlepping barrels of wine. All this buches, they wanted to relax. They wanted to take a break and rest up a little bit and then continue to walk further after they rest up in order to deliver the barrel of wine somewhere. So they put the barrel of wine on the ground right near the bottom of a drain pipe. What happened was, poka. So the barrel cracked. Also the comment of my brabashi. So my Barabashi understood, they came to my Barabashi, what happened over here? Why did the barrel crack? They didn't see any reason. So he understood that there was there were mazikim there, and the mazikim cracked the barrel. So he decided to put them in cherem. Not only can you put human beings in cherem, the Gemara says you can put, in my cotton, there was a dog in the dormitory of the yeshiva who was eating, biting into the shoes of the Talmidim and ruining them. So they put the dog in cherem, and he died. So here also, apik shifore, My Rav Ashi took a shofar. When they would put someone a chem, they would announce it by blowing shofar. So he blew a shofar. Shamtei, so he put the mazikim in cherem. He put that mazik in cherem, the one who did the hezik. Also the kamei. So the mazik came to my Rav Ashi. He said, I apologize. Why did you put me in cherem? Amalei, I might have it. Why did you crack the guy's barrel? Amalei, hechi, I'm going to do kios. We were sitting there, I was sitting there, the mazikma, we sit on the bottom of the drain pipe. We were sitting there, and the guy put the barrel of wine right in my ear. So in other words, it's his stupid fault. Who told the balabas to put the barrel of wine? I came there first. I was sitting there. Amalei, so my barbashi tells the mazik, ad beduchte deshkher, my boys, you had no right to sit there. You know that people walk around over there. You had no right to sit there. Atu Dishanis, it's your fault. You were sitting, the mazik was sitting there in a location that's miyuchad for people. Zil Shlim, I hold you responsible. You have to pay. You have to give him back a barrel. Omale Hashtanami Likvili Marzimna. Okay. I don't have to pay on the spot right now. Give me a few days. Usually if a person is chay mitam halvoa, mitam mazik, they give him shloshim yom, you give him 30 days to pay. He says, give me a zman that I have to pay. So Kabbalism, he made up, you have to pay by such a date. You have to pay, what pay means he's going to get money, or going to get wine, he's going to steal, the mazik is going to steal money from somebody and bring it to this poor guy who just cracked his barrel of wine. He bought the zimna when it came the day that the mazik agreed that he was going to pay. Yeah, he didn't show up on time. He came later. Also, when he finally showed up, she says, you agreed to come at 10 o'clock in the morning. Why'd you come a day later? Why'd you come 6 o'clock in the evening? Why don't you come on time? So he said, because I had to give them so much money, and mazikim only have shlita on things that are not counted, not measured, and not weighed. Called midi, any item, the tzair, it's tied up, the chosim, chosim means it's sealed, the kail, and it's measured, the money, and it's counted, let's say there's a dozen eggs. So I can't take an egg from the dozen eggs. They counted it right, it's a dozen, or you have 5 pound bag of potatoes. So it's measured, it's weighed. It's weighed, it's measured, it's counted as something. So we don't have any shlita on that. So I was looking, I couldn't find anything. Adam Ashkechin needed to have care until I finally found something that I could steal and bring. So this, on the side of the Gemara, they tell you to look in the Taisus and Tainus. Taisus and Tainus has a stira, akasha, that the Gemara says, Ein Abracha, was it? But how to say, Basamecha, Basamecha. So the Gemara says, Dab hasama min ha'ayin, that when the farmer harvests all the tvua, so if he already measured it and he knows exactly how many sacks of grain he has, or how much he has, then it's already too late to offer a tefillah yiratzim ulfanecha that I should have 200 bushels. He measured it, he says he has 185 bushels, he doesn't have 200 bushels. But Kozman, he didn't measure it yet. So then it tried to offer a tefillah, and they turn out that it'll be more than he thought. So that Gemara seems to imply that whenever something is counted up, a brocha cannot be chal before you counted it, before you measured it. So then you can offer a tefillah. The farmer can offer a tefillah. That I should have 200 units. 200 sacks of grain. Kozman, you didn't measure it yet, but once you measured it, then the bracha is not chal. The bracha is only chal, but dover ha-samay min ha-ayin. And here the Gemara says the reverse. That dover ha-samay min ha-ayin, so the malachi chavala, the mazikim, don't have any shlita there. So that's what Tosis presents as a kasha. Which is better for the person, that it is counted or it's not counted? So one Gemara says that it's better it's not counted. If it's counted, the bracha is not chal. The other Gemara says better if it is counted, then the mazikim don't have an shlita. So that's Tosfos Kash and Tainus Daf Ches. So in that Tosfos, the Sfasemis suggests a teretz. And I remember once I remember every year Breuer's has an annual dinner. So I remember I once was going with my wife. We went to the train station to the A train, 184th Street, and we were waiting for the train to go to Breuer's dinner. So who do I meet? Dr. Leo Levy. He used to live in the neighborhood. Dr. Leo Levy used to teach physics in Yeshiva College many years ago when I was a student in the college. And then he went on to, he moved to, he was Talmid Chacham also, not only physics, he was Talmid Chacham. And he moved to Yerushalayim and he was at a Machon Lev. So he met me and he asked, we were talking and learning. So I'd learned just that day. I'd learned that Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes are not Tosfos. So I told him over the teretz of the Sfas Emes. So the Sfas Emes says, whenever something is measured and weighed, and we know exactly there are a dozen eggs in the, there are 12 eggs in the box, and there are 5 pounds of potatoes in the bag. If it's measured and weighed, signed, sealed, delivered, and so on, then it can't change. Then the rules of Teva apply. If it's a dozen, it's 12. If it's 5 pounds, it's 5 pounds. It calls man that it's not measured and not weighed, then it could get better, could get worse. So the mazikin could steal some of it, and it'll be less than it should have been, and a bracha can be chal on a dover asam. So he told me that the physicists always have this question, that the rules of nature only apply in that part of the world which we're watching. Or maybe the rules apply even when no one is watching. And we'll never know. Because if we're going to watch it, then we're watching it. So the rules of nature apply. Maybe the rules of nature, that's that sad. The Sfas Emes suggests that sad. That the rules of nature only apply that a box of eggs, a box of a dozen eggs is going to be 12 eggs. And 5 pounds of flour is going to be 5 pounds of flour. 5 pounds of potatoes is going to be 5 pounds of potatoes. It's not going to change. Yeah. So that's an interesting Sfas Emes. That's how he answers this discussion. Sfas Emes on Tainus. Then Abai has these all the things that Abai said. He always used to think one way until Rabbi told him otherwise. So he says, Rama Abai, 4 lines from the Bai Mereish, originally have a mean. I used to say, Hai shadi mayim li puma de chatzwa. If you have a barrel of water that you draw the water from the river, so the meaning used to be that they would tilt the top of the barrel and throw off the first inch of water. They would pour it out. So what was the reason? So Mireish Havamina, initially, originally, when I was younger, I thought that the reason why we do it, Mishum Tzipsa, maybe some twigs, maybe some dead flies fell in, maybe there's something dirty there on top. And if it pour off the top inch or two of water, it's a shine, so it's going to be clean. My uncle told me that that's not the only reason. Mishum Deika Mayim Haroim. What do you mean, Mishum Deika Mayim Haroim, Rashi? Maybe the last line in Rashi. Maybe a shade drank some of the water, and it's going to be unhealthy. Not only because of the tzipsa, maybe something fell in, kisma v'kach, maybe some dirty thing fell in. Also concerned, maybe the shade drank from it. So what can you do to protect yourself? So if you spill off the top inch, Rashi says, zutakanasam, when you spill off the top inch, so you solve the problem. So the Gemara tells a story. There was a certain shade who was in Rapapa's home. He was Mishamish, Rashi says. That shade used to help out Rapapa. So he drew a barrel of water. They asked him, they need some water for the meal. So he went to the river and he got a barrel of water. And it took him a long time to kill. Also, when he finally came back, I'm like, Mal Yekvis, why did it take so long? I'm like, he said, he had to wait. He thinks that maybe Mazikim drank from the water in the river where he was drawing the water, and it's unhealthy. So he had to wait till the other Mazikim, he himself was a shade, had to wait till Mazikim went away, and the water would go away. Then he took the barrel of water. But then the shade, meanwhile, the shade Chazinu notices the Kotshoda Maimi Puma de Chatzva. He sees that when he brought the barrel of water to Rapapa's home, that they're going to use it for cooking or for drinking, whatever. So they took the barrel, they tilted it to the side, and they spilled off the first inch or two from the top. Omar said, the Shade says, oh, if I would have realized that they're going to do that, how do you dine at the Megillis and the Rebbe and Hachi? If I would have known that this is your common practice, that you spill off the top inch or two, I wouldn't have to wait so long. I could have brought the water right away, and you would have spilled off whatever the Shade drank. You would have solved the problem. So Tosis asks, so why didn't he do it? Top Tosis says, why didn't he do it himself? Why did he have to wait till the Maim Haroim disappeared by the river? He could have filled it up with water and spilled it off. So Tosis works on that cash. Okay. The Gemara says about how important it is to wash Maim Rishonim and Maim Achronim. Ki Asa Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael. So when he came to Bavel, Omar, he said, Maim Rishonim Hachilu B'sar Chazir. There was once an incident that because a person didn't, he came to a restaurant to eat bread, to eat a meal. And they had Jewish customers and non-Jewish customers. So the Jewish customers, they gave kosher food. The non-Jewish customers gave non-kosher food. This is a kasha that Rabbi Tzala Ranchburg and Rabbi Kibbegin tell you. Look on the Beis Yosef in Yeridea, Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. What do you mean? Jewish people are kosher, religious Jews allowed to have a restaurant where he has kosher and non-kosher food? You're not allowed to do schor b'macholos asuras. We spoke about it on Erev Shabbos when we spoke about Parsha Shmini, that the Gemara in Psochim around Av Chafei Amin Aleph or so, it learns out in the Psochim of Parsha Shmini, T'meim Yihi Yolachem, Yihi Yu B'Hava Yosam Yehu, that somehow that has the connotation, B'Hava Yosam Yehu, that you're not allowed to do schor b'macholos asuras. A Jewish person is not allowed to be in a non-kosher food business. It's, I'm going to sell nevelos atreifos. I'm going to sell non-kosher food. So that's an issa. If nizdamnu, let's say my father was in that business, he wasn't religious, and the son is about tshuva, then the father dies, and I have thousands of dollars, millions of dollars worth of non-kosher food. So you don't have to drop everything, be matkarid. You sell it and you make profit on it. If it, or let's say you went hunting to catch a kosher animal, and then you, by mistake, that day you happened to trap a non-kosher animal. So if nizdamnu, then it's mutter. The Gemara knows that from the pasuk to name you lochem, lochem lechol tzarchechem, that you may make money on it. That it is mutter b'hanoa. The Gemara there is working. That sugyam sochem is working with the assumption. Is Machlag Chizkiah and Rabbi Aboh. How do you know the Chomes B'Pesach is also Barno? So Chizkiah is of the opinion that since it says Chomes Lo Yeyachel, that grammatic form, Lo Yeyachel, that has the connotation of also Barno. And Rabbi Aboh says, even without that, Komakim Shenema Lo Yachel Lasochlu Lasochlu, whenever anything is also Machil, it's self understood as also Barno. Unless you have a pasuk that indicates otherwise. So Nevelo Trefa says, Beferish. You can sell it like Erish HaMashachet, Tanav HaChalam Machal HaNachri. You can sell it. Or it says, Lakelev Tashlich HaNos, you can feed it to your dogs. They see that Nevelo Trefa is Mutabana. Then Chalev, there's a pasuk. And Chodesh, there's a pasuk. You're allowed to make money on Chodesh. Each Machal HaSasuris, that's Mutabana, has to have a pasuk. So the... So the Gemara says, and how do you know that non-kosher animals are muta b'hano? Well, then said, "Afram t'mei yu lachem, lachem l'chol tzarchechem." That is muta b'hano. So then the Gemara asks, but the Mishnah Shvi says that you're not allowed to be in that business. That's a person sells ham. He sells bacon. That's what he does for a living. He has a factory and he processes bacon. The Gemara says, no, to be in that business is also, but nizdamnu, if it happens, b'mikre, once in a while, if you fell in like that, so that's mutter. So that's a big machloikas, but that the chilek between nizdamnu, then nizdamnu is mutter to get hanor, but to be kavu in the business, is that a din deraisa, a din derabban? That's a big machloikas. But here is a problem. What do you mean? It sounds like the kosher restaurant is selling kosher food to the religious Jews, non-kosher food to the non-Jews. How can they be in the business to sell? They buy it wholesale and they sell it retail and they're making money on it. How are you allowed to make money? So the Beis Yosef is working hard to try to figure out what's going on over here. So he says, obviously, the Jewish restaurant owner is a Rasha. He's in violation of the din, because the din says that you're not allowed to be in this business. Oh, Rabbi Tzal Ranchburg quotes it. Oh, Shas HaShemad Hoya. and he was making believe that he wasn't observing the mitzvahs, but for the religious Jews, he was giving kosher food. That's how the Bessetzim suggests pshat over here. And then Rabbi Sal Rajmik tells you to look in the Maharsho and the Maharshif, who both say, the Maharsho says on Rashi, that no, it's nizdamnu, that he had a sheichet shecht, an animal, and it turned out that it was an availer. It turned out that it was a trefa. So that's nizdamnu. So that he was selling to the non-Jews. He had a non-kosher section in his restaurant. And whenever it was nizdamnu, a trefa animal, the sheikha didn't do a good job. It turned out that it was a trefa. So then they would sell it to the non-Jews. So one customer came in. Today can tell who has a yarmulke. So you see the guy's wearing a yarmulke. He's Jewish. You see he has a beard and payas. So he comes in with a sefer. So you know he's Jewish. In the days of the Tanaim, how did they know? Days of the Tanaim, how would they know whether a person is Jewish? So he sat down and he started eating bread without washing Mayim Rishonim. So because he sat down and he didn't observe Mayim Rishonim, so there are two versions of the same story. So one version is that they gave him chazir, pork to eat, and the other version was that they gave him nevela to eat. Chazir, the Gemara considers is worse than nevela. In what sense chazir worse? Everybody knows chazir. Even the non-Jews know chazir. That's really treif. Nevela, treif, that they don't fully understand. But pork and bacon, that they all understand. Rashi says chazir is worse because the two isurim. There's betray isurim. There's a double isur. What exactly? What's a double isur? Nevela and behemat meya. I'm not sure what Rashi means over here. Rashi goes with halacha, Pasha Pshat, and the Gemara, chazer. All the goyim know the chazer is worse than nevela meat. So the two versions, what happened over here, because the guy didn't wash netilas adam, he sat down to eat bread without washing. So one version was they gave him nevela, the other version was worse than that, they gave him chazer. Then another person didn't wash my machrainim before he benched. So they thought. The story doesn't appear here. It says the same story appears in Yom Pei Gimel and Ayin Sham. There, the Gemara tells the whole story. So the Gemara tells that the mayor of Yudah were once traveling together, and they came to a location Erev Shabbos late in the afternoon in a hotel in an inn, and they couldn't hold on to their wallet with the money. So they asked the innkeeper, "What's your name?" So he said, "His name is Kidor." A crazy name, Kidor. So Rav Meir used to darshan names. If a person had a kooky name, like there's a pasuk in Chumash, Kidor Tapuch Hasema. Kidor Tapuch Hasema. So he was choshed, the owner of the hotel, if his name is Kidor, so there must be something wrong with him. So he didn't want to entrust his wallet with him. He was afraid he's going to steal the wallet. Rav Yudah didn't hold from darshaning names. Rav Meir never told him about this thing that he has, that he darshans people's names. So Rav Meir, and it was a third time of this, or a man the other time, Rav Yossi, I think, they both entrusted the innkeeper was wearing a yarmulke and looked like a religious Jew. So they trusted him with their pocketbook, with their wallet. And Rav Meir didn't trust him. So what's Rav Meir going to do? Where's he going to hide his money? It's Erev Shabbos. What's he going to do with the money? He can't go around with the money. So there was a cemetery nearby where that follows that the innkeeper's father was buried there. So he went and he put his wallet, Rav Meir went to the cemetery, it was soon before Shabbos, and he put his wallet on the grave site of the father of the innkeeper. Then after Shabbos was over, so Rav Yudah and the other Tana, I think Rav Yossi, asked the innkeeper, "Where's my money?" And he said, "You never gave me any money." And Rav Meir went to the cemetery and he found his money there. The Gemara tells a whole story about that too. What happened, how he protected his money. And then they lost their wallet with the money. So on Sunday morning, they lost all the money. So Sunday morning, the Jewish people who observed this din, the Jews are supposed to be more careful about the danger. The Jews should be more careful about when we have more to live for. We observe mitzvahs. We learn Torah. We do more than the Ummah Sa'alam. Unfortunately, now in this present crisis, So you see that the religious Jews are more mezalzal in their health than the Nochrim. The Nochrim are following what the Board of Health is telling you. And the religious Jews are making minyanim, and they're making bar mitzvahs, and they're making weddings and everything like nothing happened. It should have been just the reverse. The Jews are always more careful about their health than the Nochrim because we have more to live for. Our lives are more, we consider our lives more important than the Nochrim consider their lives. So the Jews always used to wash Mayim Achreinim to take care of the Melech Sodomus. And then Rashi explains there in Yuma, when they used to wash Mayim Achreinim, so they got the Zuhama, they got the stickiness off of their fingers, then they would wipe off the whiskers as well. So this owner of the hotel where the Tanoim stayed, he wasn't so observant. It's a different story. The Mayim Rishonim that was in a restaurant, that the fellow didn't wash to eat bread, so they thought that he wasn't Jewish, so they gave him either bacon, chazir, or they gave him the vela meat. That was one story. Then, Mayim Achreinim, that was a different incident, when the Tanoim went to the hotel, and then they noticed that on Sunday morning after breakfast, he hadn't washed off, obviously he didn't wash Mayim Achreinim after breakfast, so he didn't wash off his whiskers. So they saw on the whiskers what he ate for breakfast. So the two Tanoim, who were missing their wallets, went to the wife of the innkeeper, and they said, your husband told us that we should pick up the two wallets. And he said, the similar dover that your husband told us, that we're not making it up on our own, is he told us that for breakfast you had whatever, you had this and this. So she says, yeah, how do you know? He said, that's the husband told him the simon. So she gave him the wallets, and the husband came home for lunch. And he found out that his wife gave them their wallets. He wanted to steal the wallets. On Motzei Shabbos, when Shabbos was over, he asked for the wallets. He said, you never gave me. He denied. You never gave me the wallets. His wife didn't know that he was going to steal the wallets. So when they told her the simon, that this is your husband told us what you had for breakfast, how did they know? Because he didn't wash Mayim Achreinim, so he never wiped off his whiskers. So they saw on his mustache, they saw what he had for breakfast. So there are two versions of what happened, what tragedy happened. So one version was that he killed his wife. The innkeeper was so angry at his wife, why she gave away the wallets, he thought he's going to walk off with their money, that he killed her. And the other version is that he divorced her. Right. So that's what the Gemara tells the story. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel. He said there was once an incident that the person didn't wash Mayim Rishonim, and they gave him chazir. In a different case, a person did wash Mayim Achreinim, but tzisu isha mebailo, and they caused that the husband divorced his wife. And when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he told over the same story, but differently. Not that they gave chazir, they rather gave nevela. And then the other story, by the innkeeper in the days of the Tanoim, that he didn't wash Mayim Achreinim, he didn't wash off his whiskers. So Mayim Achreinim, hargulas hanefesh. The husband, the innkeeper, killed his wife. He was so furious at her, why she gave away the wallets, why she gave back the money to the two Tanoim. So there are two versions. How will you remember which version was said by Rav Dimi and which version was said by Ravin? They both came from Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says because Ravin came second. They all knew Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael way before Ravin. So if the first version would have been that he killed his wife, then the second version, what do you mean he divorced his wife? He already killed her, so he can't divorce her. But if the first version was that he divorced his wife, then the second version was, not only did he divorce her, he killed her. So v'simoncha, the way to remember, also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came first, they all know Rav Dimi came first, Afka, his version was that the husband divorced his wife, but also Rav Dimi came later, so his version was worse, that Kotla. It couldn't have been the reverse. If first he killed his wife, he can't divorce his wife later. But if he first divorced his wife, then he can kill his wife. So that's a way, just a similar davar to remember who said which version. Then the Gemara said there was another version. Rababa masni chada mehani v'chada mehani. Everything l'chumer. Rababa had a third version of the two stories, and in both stories, both by the restaurant owner, his version was that they gave him l'chumer. They gave him chazir, which is worse for some reason or another. Chazir is worse than the vela. And by the incident with the innkeeper, with the Tanoim, his version was the Mohammedic version, that he killed the wife, not that he hotzias eishem ebayu. This is talking more about Netilas Sadayim. We're going to bring that. I'd like to learn parts of it. Maybe we'll skip temporarily to the water, to the Gemara later. The Gemara has about 15 lines from the bottom. Amar Ablaz, Amar Aboshia, Amar Netilas Sadayim, the Paris. They never made a takana that you should have to wash until it's time before you eat fruits. If you're eating truma, you always have to wash until it's your dime, because the Tanoi made, and towards the end of the Bai Shein, it made a lot of yutches gzeris, and a lot of gzeris to be machmer a lot on tumah v'tara. So they introduced the din that your dime shnei sein, stam your dime askani sein. In the Torah, there's no such thing. You can't have that part of the body is tumah and part of the body is tohar. Either the whole body is tohar, the whole body is tamei. But with the rabbanim, they made such a din that the yadayim hashneis them in a Torah, a body, a human being can never be a sheni l'tuma. A person can either be, if he's dead, it can be avi avos hatuma, a meis avi avos hatuma, or he can be an av hatuma or a rishon l'tuma. Someone went to a funeral, said the meis is avi avos. The one who attended the funeral is an av hatuma. Whenever the tuma is transmitted, it goes down a level. Then the one who attended the funeral shakes my hand. So whenever the tumah is transmitted, so it goes down a level. It goes down, so the one who shook hands with the one who attended the funeral becomes a rishon tumah. But Adam Mekedem can only be, the Gemara says on the first half in Baba Kama, that there are four categories of things in the whole wide world that are the Mekabal tumah, Adam Mekedem, Okham Mashkim. So Adam Mekedem can only be Mekabal tumah from an Av or above. So someone attended the funeral, so the Mesa Avi Abba is one who attended is an Av. And he shakes my hand, or he touches me, he makes me into a Rishon. But this Rishon is going to touch someone else, he can make him into a Sheni. The Rishon can touch Eich Mamashkin, make the Eich Mamashkin into a Sheni. But Eich Mamashkin can be Mekabel Tuma from a Tolda. But Od Mekenu can only be Mekabel Tuma from an Av or above, or from Avi Av Isa Tuma. So if a person is about to eat a Kohen, is about to eat Truma, and he wasn't careful with his hands, so the hand is not dying. When he washes until it's Adam, then it's no longer Stam Yadayim, then Yadayim HaTohiris. But if it's Stam Yadayim HaShnias, that's a Chomer Midrabban. The Sheni can passel Truma. If something or somebody is a Sheni in a Tuma, and it touches Truma, so it passels the Truma. So before a Kohen is about to eat Truma, he always has to wash until it's Adam. Even if the Truma is an apple, even if it's a piece of bread, that's Truma. Whatever it is, a cookie, he always... We only wash Netilas Adayim for bread. Where does the Gemara have? Here the Gemara has. Before that. Omar Avidi Bar Rav and Omar Avitzu Bar Shin. Netilas Adayim L'chulin. Why did they introduce a few lines before with what we read before? Well, Netilas Adayim L'chulin, before you eat bread, is Mishum Ipnei Srach Truma. The original din was you have to wash Netilas Adayim. A Kohen has to wash Netilas Adayim. Because Tam Yadayim Shnias Haim is going to touch the truma, he'll passel it, then it'll be also to eat the truma. So that was even if he's eating an apple of truma, even if he's eating a cookie of truma, that's bari minim zen, not a moitzi. And then they made a takana by bread. The normal practice used to be they always used to wash for all the meals. They always wash for bread at the beginning of the meal. So they made a din because of srach truma. But not only mishum srach truma, mishum mitzvah. My mitzvah, what mitzvah? I'm rabbi mitzvah, shema devach hachom. What does that mean? That means Rach Truma. What's added on mitzvah? So Tesh says, no, mitzvah means Mishum Nikias. The little Tesh of Dibra Maschon mitzvah. Mitzvah means for cleanliness. That's Ushad Taka Avocha L'maisin. When we wash for bread today, are we interested in removing the Tumas HaYadayim? We don't want to have Sam Yadayim Shnei Asein. Mishum Srach Truma Taka. Or maybe that was the original... Maybe motivation, but lamaisa, maybe it's only mishum nikiyus. So that's a big machloikus. You look in Hilchas Mikvois in the Rambam, the very last perek, I forgot what number it is, the very last perek in Hilchas Mikvois is all about Netilas Yadayim Letruma. Netilas Yadayim for eating bread is in the Rambam Hilchas Brochus, I think it's perek Vov. But Netilas Yadayim for Truma is the last perek in Hilchas Mikvois. So the Rambam quotes from the Mishnah in that last parak in Hilchas Mikvos that when you wash until the Siddayim, for Truma, he adds on the word, Anotel Yodav L'Truma has to pour a little water, stop, and pour some more water. You need mayim rishonim and mayim shniyim. It's not mayim achronim. Mayim achronim is at the end of the meal because of melech sadam. This is called mayim shniyim. What's mayim shniyim all about? We have a pasuk in last week's seder in Shmini that ach mayim abayim mikveh mayim yihyeh tohar. If a person is toivel in a mikveh and he removes the tumah, so does the water of the mikveh become tummy? Does he switch the tumah from his body to the water? So the pasuk says no. Ach mayim abayim mikveh mayim yihyeh tohar. The water in the mikveh remains tohar. He gets rid of the tumah. But if you're washing, so if you're pouring a revius, a whole revius of water on your hand, whole revius on the right hand, whole revius on the left hand, then that's like being tovel in a mikveh, that the meha mikveh remains tohar. So the revius does not become tummy. But if you have to have a revius in the cup, but then if you pour less than a revius and you stop, so that removes the tumah from the hands, but the water on the hand is going to be tummy. So the Meir HaTakoni need Mayim Shniyim to remove the tumah from the Mayim Rishonim. So the Rambam writes, you only need Mayim Shniyim. If you have a pour a whole revius on the right hand, pour a whole revius on the left hand, the whole revius is like a mikvah memsor that you dovel in. So the revius would not be tummy. But if you have a revius in the cup, but you're not pouring the whole revius. So a few people are going to wash. I don't know how it's possible. They have such small hands. I don't know how you can succeed in pouring less than a revius on your hand, covering the whole surface of the hand. But so the Rambam writes like that. You need mayim shniyim anotel yadav l'truma. So the Ravid picks on the Rambam. Why did he say anotel yadav l'truma? Anotel yadav for eating bread. In Perek Vav and Hilchas Brachos, he should have said the same thing. He thinks that when the Mishnayos insist that you need mayim shniyim, it's not limited. It's not restricted only to netilas yadayim l'truma. Even so the Pashto says that that's exactly the machloikas. That's what they say from Rav Velbele Soloveitchik. So the Shitosai also, that the Rambam holds, even though the Gemara says Mishum Srach Truma, maybe that's how they started off with the Takana, but it's really only Mishum Nikias. Only Mishum Mitzvah, the Shmadi V'chachamim, it says that it means is Nikias. So you don't really need Maim Shneim by Chulun. And the Rabbi holds no. The rabbi holds no, that when we wash until this time today for eating bread, this mishum srach truma, we want to remove the tumah sayadayim. The chayodim has a sofik. If a person is in the middle of eating, a person washes for bread, is in the middle of eating a meal, and then he touches a pair of tefillin. So tefillin ametam sayadayim, or he touches kisvei hakodesh. Kisvei hakodesh metamen sayadayim. Now, you're not allowed to touch Kisvei HaKodesh. The reason why it's Metamei HaYadayim is because Osa Lecha Sefer Torah Orum. You're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah with your bare hand. It's a Bizoyan HaKdusha. You're so buddy-buddy. You're so friendly with the Kisvei HaKodesh that you touch it with your bare hands out of respect. Whenever you have to move the cloth of the Sefer Torah, so you always have to take the talis to be mapsik out of respect for the Sefer Torah. We're not going to be Oiches Sefer Torah Orum with our bare fingers. That's considered a violation of Covered our sefer. But if you did touch it, so then it's metameis haidayim. So the chayadim has a sofik. A person washed for bread, he's in the middle of the meal, then he touches kisvei hakodesh. He touches a megillah, let's say. On Purim, he has a megillah, or he touches a pair of tefillin. Tefillin's metameis haidayim. So do you say, since it's metameis haidayim, he has to wash over again? Or do you say, no, you're not eating truma. If you're eating truma, it's metameis haidayim, your daim hashnias again. But if you're not eating truma, maybe then until Saddam is on the Mishum Nikias, and your hands are clean. You touch Kisvei HaKodesh, it doesn't make the hands hygienically unclean. So the Pashto says that that suffix of the Chaye Adam, that's exactly the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, where the Bizman is there. When we wash a bed, you need Mayim Shneim or not. Is it the same as washing for truma? Gemara Mishum Srach Truma. That's how it started off. But then Lamai said, that's what. That was the motivation. That's how they started off. But then today, the Takana Tilzalem has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. Oh, no. It's also Mishum Tumah V'Tahara. I don't have that. They have it in the first Nipia Shmua. They have, I think, there's a Rambam and a Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah. The Rambam, I think, disagrees with the Bahag. Why the Bahag counted in the Taryag Mitzvahs, he counts the Tilas Yadayim as a Mitzvah. So the Rambam says that whatever is only the Rabbanon shouldn't be counted. But I think there's a Ramban there says something that I forgot already. It says somehow this Rambam in the last perek in Hilchos Mikvos was l'shitasai with the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs about whether you should count until Zedayim, whether it's Mishum Srach Truma. If it's Mishum Srach Truma, then it's based on the pasuk Kishmartem es Mishmarti. Then it's a Gzera. So Gzera Mishum Srach Truma. So then that's Kishmartem es Mishmarti is counted as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah to make a Sei Siyog Latar. All the Siyogim, all the Harchakas are included in the same pasuk. It really shouldn't be counted separately. I don't remember the whole, the rest of the comment of Elvama. But it should appear, I have that, have the Mipia Shmua Chela Galef I have in the yeshiva. I don't have it. Anyway, so that's the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, made a takana for Truma. Whoever eats Truma, even Paris, you have to wash until Zadak. Then made a takana for bread. Okay. And then the Gemara says, but for Paris, they never made a takana. Where's the Gemara? Lo amin until Zadam the Paris and the Mishum Nikias. Oh, you only have to wash Mishum Nikias. So the Chovahu the Lekka Mitzvah Yikam. You're not mechuyev to, but it's a recommended thing. Amalu Rabba lo chovav lai mitzvah le'rishus. Optional. You don't have to wash it all. You don't have to wash it all. The pliga de Rab Nachman, he holds a third way. Not only is it not obligatory, it's not proper. It's improper. It's a chutzpah. It's a mechzik yuhara. Amar Rab Nachman, no chuyev le peris enem legaseh haruach. He's showing as if he's such a tzaddik, such a machmir. Not only does he wash until the shadayim before he eats truma, even if he's eating an apple of chulin, before he eats a vegetable, before he eats a pepper or a pickle, he's always going to wash until Sedan. Pickles, if you eat the pickles from the jar, it's going to be davish and tevul b'mashke. So that the taka do have to wash. That's an Arvi Psochem. Okay. Then the Gemara tells a story. Amar Rabba Bochana Halev Kamei de Rabbam Rabbasi. There were two Amoraim, Rabbami Rabbasi. They lived in Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos says there's Ravami Viravasi, who were good friends. They lived in Bovel. They didn't have smicha because you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So they're called Reverend Ravami Viravasi. And then there were another two friends who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe Ami, Rebbe Asi. They had smicha. Rabbi Baba Chana learned in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yechon. Then he came to Bovel. So he says once when he lived in Eretz Yisrael, He was waiting on Rabbami Rabbasi to eat. I said the Kamar, Kalkola de Peri, Ba'ochlu. I brought for the two Amoraim, Rabbami Rabbasi, I brought a basket of fruits, and they were eating. Well, the Moshe Yedayu, they didn't wash until they said for eating the fruits. And they didn't offer me anything to eat. Each one said his there isn't even a midas chasidus to wash your hands before you eat fruits. That's only by truma because of the sheni's pasul truma. If two people are eating bread, then it would be a good idea they should invite the third person to eat bread with them, so they'll have a mizumin. They'll be able to bench mizumin. Like this, they'll just bench with that. That enhances the benching. So here, the fact that they didn't invite Rabbi Bar Bar Chana to eat some of the fruits with them is a similar davar. There is no mizumin, so you're not going to gain anything, even if they'll have the third person eat with them. And then each one said his own bracha achrayna, shmamin at the third din, shlam shachla mitzvah lecholik. That it's not right to say you don't say Shema Koine on Bichas Hanenin before or after you eat the food. That's what we said a few times. The Ran and on the Rif in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, but it's really Mishnayis like that. Yerushalmi puts together there are three cases where we don't permit Shema Koine. We allow Shema Koine by Mikra Megillah. The Balkari lands the Megillah and everybody's Yetze. We say Shema Koine by Kiddush, by Havdalah. We say Shema Koine by Tkiya Shofar, the Baal Tekeh blows the Shofar and everybody's Yetzer. That's based on Shemeh Koine. But there are three cases where the Halacha doesn't allow Shemeh Koine. So one case is by Kriya Shema, because Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, Derech Eretz dictates the person should strain himself and say his own, You shouldn't just be Shamea Kaina, hear someone else say Kriya Shema. You should say your own Kriya Shema. Second case is davening. If you need a shidduch, you don't need parnasa. You want to be blessed with children, a grandchildren with embassy, you should daven on your own. You shouldn't just listen to someone else say the tefillah, say the Kriya Shema, say the bakashas, the Shemana Esra in the Yotze. So Kriya Shema, you don't say Shemel Kaina, and tefillah, you don't say, you should ask on your own. And when it comes to eating food, you didn't ask him to eat the sandwich for you. You ate the sandwich yourself, so you should say the bracha before and after on your own. So these are the three. So Grada, they quote from the Vilna Gaon that you see from the Mishnah like that. The Mishnah Megillah says, HaKoreh HaMegillah, Oymed V'yoshev. It says in the singular, HaKoreh HaMegillah. So you see, there's a Balkoreh, he reads the Megillah for everybody in Shul. And the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah Bracha says, Me'emesai Korin is Hashma. Why it doesn't say Me'emesai Korei is Hashma? The Chazan should daven for an Omid, let's lay by the Svardim. The Chazan davens for an Omid, and he says all the Brachas are Kriya Shema out loud, and the people in the Shul don't say along. They Yotze with Shemei Koine. But when it comes to the Kriya Shema, they all say on their own. They don't rely on Shemei Koine. Because the Mishnah says, Me'emesai Korin is Hashma, as opposed to Megillah, where it says, HaKoreis HaMegillah, in the singular, they see that by Megillah, you do say Shemei Koine, by Kriya Shema, you don't. So that's what they quote, the Diok from the Vilna Gaon. Now that we have the Ritva was printed on Megillah, so the Diok appears in the Ritva. He has the same Diok, that HaKoreis HaMegillah in the singular, Koreis HaShema in the plural, so you see that by Kriya Shema, you don't say Shemei Koine. Yeah, by Tefillah also, Dinam like that, that also from the Mishnah, it's in the end of Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Ran is there in the end of Rosh Hashanah. That the Chazan is not Motzi the Saboki, he's only Motzi the Einaboki. The Institute of Chazar Sashat's because of those who are not Bikim. But for the Boki, everybody should say on his own. And then with respect to eating food, that's a Mishnah in Brochas. That's what this gigantic thesis, and on the base, the first long thesis is quoting Daf Mem Gimel. The Mishnah says here, thesis quotes, Tanan the Kates of Mevarchim, it's in the middle of the big Tosis, it says in parentheses, Sham daf mem deis amal alafoye yoshvim, I invite the guests to eat in my home, and everybody's sitting, kolechad mevarchi atzmo, everybody says hamotzi on his own. If heisebu, then echem mevarch lukulam. If they're eating the heisebu, then one can say the bracha for all of them. So why is that? Because you don't say shemei ka'ine by hamotzi. You don't say shemei ka'ine by hamotzi, only if you have heisebu. Yoshua is not enough. Why? If you have hasebu, then it's called achila bikvias. And then we say it's also, it's not based on Shemei Kaina. Then we say, whole chabura offers one hamoitzi. It's not based on Shemei Kaina. It's a different word. Whole chabura offers one hamoitzi. And the same is, and Tosis explains here, the same difference between Yoshua and hasebu is relevant to bench mezumen. Can only bench mezumen if hasebu. As much as nobody eats hasebu all year long, we only eat hasebu on Leil HaSeder, and it's a nuisance then because all year long we're not used to it. So Tosis writes there on that Mishnah, that Membeis, that Yeshiva Didan ke hasebu dehu. By us, the maximum kviyas that we eat then is everybody sitting around the table. So when one person says Amoitzi for everybody else on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're all eating together. So that's Yeshiva Didan ke hasebu dehu. Everybody should be sitting by the table. If they're standing, you don't say Shemei Koine, and you can't say that the whole, it's all one big chabura, and the whole chabura is only obligated to offer one hamoitzi. And the same thing by bench and mezumen, the practice always was, for many years, that the one in benches, mezumen says the benching out loud, and the others are yotze by listening, by saying amen. So that's only if they ate together bikvias. Bizmara tanoim, they ate together hasebu. And bizmara zay, we would say, yeshiva didan ke hasebu dehu, they have to be eating together. So that's what the Braisa says. Shnaim sha'achlu mitzvah lecholek. When it comes to the bracha achreino, you shouldn't have one person say ala eitz or pihoitz. They were eating fruits. You shouldn't have one person say ala michid ala kalkola. Usually when you have a kiddush in shul, so on Shabbos mornings at the end of the kiddush, somebody says altlachid ala kalkola, everybody's yotze. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's not proper. You can only be moitzi the others with a bracha achreina by a mezumen. by mezumin, and mezumin is only by bichas hamazon. If you saying ala michia, just like the din is a mezamnim ala peris, there's no mezumin if you're going to say bracha shraina on peris. So too, there's no mezumin on cookies, on cake either. Bar nefashis, that's a machlokes, and the gemara too, the shainis, and a machlokes, the ramam, and the ravid. What's the din? Let's say we're all having potato chips. So the whole difference between yoshvu and hesebu, that yoshvu kalech mevarach liatzman, hesebu ech mevarach likulam, the gemara said that Tosfos quotes it, that big Tosfos on kuvav and base, that's only by pas v'yayin. But by all other foods, there's no difference between yoshvu and hesebu. There's no kvias. Everything is shalav b'kvias. So where does that lead you? So the Gemara has two lashonos, and it's machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid, which lashon the paskan like the Gemara and Brachas, so and Daf, and Gimel, Tosfos quotes it, and Gimel and Aleph, yeah. And the two opinions, the Ramam and the Ravid, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, has a machlekes, what the din is. So one version in the Gemara is that on potato chips, so you're having a beer party, everybody's drinking beer, and they're saying Shahakal. So one version is, on all other foods other than pasayayin, you don't even need Hasebu, you don't need Yoshvu, even if they're walking and they're standing. And one says, I want to say Shahakala my bottle of soda, and everybody have a mind to be Yotze, or everybody's in their own car, and one screams out the Bracha Shahakal, and everybody says Amen. So the Yotze, that on all other Brichas Anenin, before and after, you say Shemei Ka'ayna, you do say Shemei Ka'ayna, only Pasen Yain you don't, unless they're eating Bikvias, either Hasebu, or Yeshiva Didanke Hasebu. The other version of the Gemara is no. Then all other foods other than pasayayin, even hasebu doesn't help. So we would require each and every individual should say his own bracha on the potato chips and on the soda and on the beer and on everything, that even yeshiva hasebu wouldn't help. So that's a machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid, which version to accept. Tosfos quotes it's a machlekes. On shar things like mahanyulu hasebu, vikadami labai hasebu. Tosfos quotes it says Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph in the Tosfos. So that's a machlokes. So Nachamot, so the Gemara says Shema Men Hashnayim Shachal Mitzvah Licholik, that you don't say Shemei Koine by Abracha Achroine because there's no mezumin. If there would be a mezumin, then they would have invited him to be the third one to enhance the Bracha Achroine, and then the din would have been that one says for all of them. Because bench of mezumin is a new idea. The whole chabura offers one bichas hamazon. Yeah, Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. How come by mezumin if you have shnayim she'ochlu? There's a machlekes in the beginning of per shloshu she'ochlu. It says shloshu she'ochlu kachas chayovim lezame. They're mechuyev to. What if shnayim she'ochlu kachas? Two people ate bread together. So the din is they're not mechuyev to bench mezumin, but it's optional. If they want to, they may. But he say no. There's no mezumin even if they want to. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's no mezumin even if they want to. So the same over here. Even if you want to, there's no mezumin. And it has Tanya Namihoch. The Gemara quotes the last three lines. The Gemara in Brachas there, Memheim Beis, quotes the same braisa. After they quote the Machlokes Amoraim, where the Shnaim She'ochlu, two people had sandwiches, they had bread, and each one is b'chiv to bench, b'chiv samazin. Is it optional to make mezumin or not at all? So Gemara says, we paskan not at all, not even optional, because Tanya Rami Hachi, Shtayim She'ochel, mitzvah lecholik. There's no option to make mezumin. And we wouldn't allow Shemei Koine, because we don't allow Shemei Koine by brachas in connection with food. So you have to have dafka three. So that's Tosfos kasha. The rules are the same. For the one should say hamoitzi to be moitzi the others. One should say Benjamin Bichas Hamazon to be more to the others. You need Hasebu for both, and Yoshua is not good for either. You need Achil Bachabura, so the whole Chabura is not really based on Shemei Kana. The whole Chabura offers one Hamoitzi, the whole Chabura offers one Bichas Hamazon. It's not based on Shemei Kana. The Mishnah Brewer there quotes a Sefer Bichas Abraham. Mishnah Brewer was written in the year around 1900. Bichas Abraham was before the days of the Shach. The Shach and Yerideh Simon Yutes quotes the Sefer Bichas Avram. It's written by a rabbi from Germany. His name is Avram. I forget what. And all Sefer about different brachas. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Bichas Avram. Usually when you have Shemei Koine, let's say one person says Kiddush and everybody else is Yotzei, they're listening. So you say Shemei Koine. So the there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Brachas, but they say shameka aina if the person doesn't understand Hebrew. So Rashi holds that you do, because the Mishnah says in Megillah, ha'loyesh Hashem Ashur is yotza. A person doesn't know Hebrew, and he hears the Megillah in Hebrew. He doesn't know what they're saying, but he knows it tells the story of Purim. He knows what the story of Purim is all about, but he doesn't understand Hebrew. So the Mishnah says that you yotza. So Rashi says, you see from that Mishnah that shemeh kain applies as long as you hear, even though you don't understand. And and Tosis disagrees with Rashi and says that it's not true, that you don't say Shemea Ka'ena. Shemea means you hear and you understand. If you don't understand, then you don't say Shemea Ka'ena. And if a person doesn't understand Hebrew, then he can't be Yotze with someone else's Kiddush. That's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends, in Europe, a lot of the women didn't understand Hebrew. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends, and a lot of the Litvish women whose husbands learned Mishnah Berurah had that practice. When the husband would recite Kiddush, say, so when he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Alakeinu Melech HaOlam, that they know what the words mean. Bari Pri Agofim, that they know what it means. Then Baruch Atah Hashem Alakeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvei Sof, that they understand. Berat Zavanu, that's really hard. Hin Chilanu, Hin Chaltanu, those are difficult words. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends, when the husband is saying Kiddush, the women in the family who don't understand Hebrew should be yotzei half the bracha from the husband, shemeh kaina, until the first line in the Kiddush, shekiddushanu b'mitzvei sof, v'ratzavanu, so from ratzavanu on they should say softly, even though they're not holding the cup of wine. The husband is holding the cup of wine, or the father's holding. So the women who don't know Hebrew should say softly, under the breath, until the last line, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, so that they probably do understand. Baruch Atah Hashem, they know what it means. The Kadesh is holy and Shabbos is Shabbos. So that they can be Yotze with Shemeh Kaina. So the many Litvish women had that practice to be Yotze Kiddush, half Shemeh Kaina and half they would say on their own. If I say the Kiddush on my own, even though I don't understand, I'm Yotze, because I know it's something about Shabbos. I don't know what the words mean, but I know it's Kiddush about Shabbos. Shemeh Kaina, Tosfos says, doesn't apply if you don't understand the language, because that's called Eino Shemeh. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Sefer Brichas Avram. If you're benching Mizuman, all the people who are listening are Yotze with the benching, even though they don't understand Hebrew. Hayitochen. But if they don't understand Hebrew, you can't say Shemeh Kaina. So the answer is, Anachanam is not based on Shemeh Kaina, because that's what the Ran quoted from the Yerushalmi. That's really a Furush and the Mishnah, and Dachman Beis, Man Gimel. Shemeh Kaina doesn't apply to brachas in connection with eating food. The word is, if you have a whole chaburah, so kach tikna chachem, chaburah is only pasen yayin. So if you have a chaburah, so the whole chaburah is only obligated to offer one hamoitzi. The whole chaburah is only obligated to offer one birchas hamozen. It's not that all the people are yotze with Shemeh Kaina. You don't apply Shemeh Kaina. If you have a mezuman, so that's Tosfos' problem. How come from mezuman for birchas hamazon you need a minimum of three? But to say hamotzi, if you have two, I was with my wife and I said hamotzi, and my wife ate the challah on Shabbos on Pesach night. Also, I said hamotzi al achilas matzah. My wife was yotze with mine. But you don't say shemeh kaina. Well, the Gemara says hamotzi on Leil Pesach is an exception to the rule, even yotze hamotzi. But let's say on a regular Shabbos in Yontif, not the Hamotzi with Achilas Matzah and Leil Pesach. A regular Hamotzi is, if you have two people, one says Hamotzi, the other one is Yotze. How come? Isn't that based on Shemeh Kainim? So Tosfos says, no, it's based on a Chabura. You have a Chabura. So, but over there, in order to bench Mizuman, you need a Chabura of three. How come in order to say Hamotzi, two is also enough of a Chabura? So Tosfos scratches some kind of a distinction. Tosfos gives you a chiluk. At the beginning of the meal, even two is called a chabur. At the end of the meal, it's only chabur if you have three. So you give a difficult distinction, but that's what it's based on. That's what it's based on. But the question is, how do you read this price here? Tanya Rami Hachi, the last three lines on Kuvav and Aleph. Shnam Shach L'mitzvah L'cholik. You shouldn't have one person bench and the other one yotze, but Shemeh Kari B'nont Allah Shemeh Kainah, by benching. B'med V'amamurim Shoish Neim Sofrim. They're both knowledgeable. So how can that be? Well, what does it help? But you don't say Shemeh Kaina by Birchas Hamazon. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes at the Bir Agro, asked this question. if that's what everything is based on, that line in the Yerushalmi, that's the premise of the Mishnah, that you don't apply Shemek Kohen to benching. How come by the Sefer Abur? Sefer Mavach Abur Yaitzei. So the Vilna Gaon, quoted by the Mishnah Brura, says that this whole din, that there are three instances where we don't allow Shemek Kohen by Kriyashma and by Tfilah and by Birchas Hanenim before and after eating food, the whole din is only midirabbanim. On the level of the Raisa, you do apply Shemek Kohen. It's only with the Rabbanon that you don't apply. So in the case where it's a Shas HaKak, Echad Sefer Dibur, he doesn't know how to say the Bichas Hamas, and then you have the Shas HaKak, you revert back to the Din Deraisa, and you allow Shemei HaKa'ina. Just speak, Rabbi Yossi Adler, from Teaneck, and nothing to do with the fact that we're learning Chulan Daf Kovav. He saw that I quoted this in my Sefer. I quoted the Mishnah Berurah b'shem the Vilna Gaon. So he writes me that Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in Shir, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the following. They have from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that the Rambam writes in, I think, in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Brachos, whenever you hear somebody say a bracha, a person says shahakal, bar nefesh, sashayotza, whatever, whenever you hear a bracha, the proper practice should be to say amen. And if you want to be yotze with the bracha, you want to be yotze with kiddush or havdalah, so for sure you should say amen. But even if you didn't say amen, shameya ke'oina. If I heard the bracha from the beginning to the end, that's ke'oina. If I'm paying attention, it's just as good as if I would have answered. And if I answer, kalayna amen kila hoitzi bracha mipiv dami. If I answer amen, it's considered as if I said the bracha myself. So the Rambam writes this in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Brachos. Whenever you hear a bracha, and certainly if you want to be yotze with someone else's bracha, you should say amen. But even if he didn't say amen, it's a Gemara in Sukkah. Shama v'lay ona. I heard the bracha and I didn't say amen. So the Gemara says a yotze. And then the Rambam in three places writes that he writes by Chazaras Hashat, the old tzibut should answer amen, and by Ben Shemizilin, and by a third place. The Rambam says, and everybody says amen. So he already said that in Perek Aleph Hilchos Brachos. It's a general din in the Kol HaTorah Kula. Whenever you hear anybody say bracha, and certainly if you want to be yotze with the bracha, the chatchidah should say amen, but you ever be yotze without amen. So why does he repeat it here by these three cases? So that's why they write that Rab Chaim thought the mashmos from the Rambam that here anias amen is sometimes li'ikuvah. So why by Chazor Sashatz? Why is anias amen li'ikuvah? So Rab Chaim, it's interesting, they have a sefer by Rab Leib Malan. So he also has the same diuk. He doesn't quote it in the name Rab Chaim. He has the same diuk on his own. He thought he had the impression from the Rambam. Maybe he heard it from Adavol of Hashem Rab Chaim, and he forgot, but he doesn't quote it. He writes on his own. He had the impression from the Rambam that Anias Amen is Ma'akev in the three cases. Two out of the three cases are Chazar, Sashatz, and Ben Shemazuman. So that she gave a whole Yartzai Drasha on this topic. So he said that's the reason why it's a Bichas Hamazon Bachabura. So you have to have participation, you have to have anios amein, you have to have audience participation to say everybody's mitzuref yachad, and the chabur is offering one birchas hamazon. And same thing, chazaras hashatz, tefillah, shmoneh esrei is one of the exceptions to the rule. The Yerushalmi said, well, we don't allow shemei ka'ina. So how come a chazaras hashatz, how come it can be moitzi dein aboki? The answer is not moitzi dem ayidei shemei ka'ina, like ben shmezumen. It's not based on shemei ka'ina, but haraya, because Avram said, even if they don't, Eino Shemei, he doesn't understand Hebrew, he's still Yotze. The whole Chabura offers one benching, the whole Chabura offers one Hamoitze, so the whole Chabura, the whole Tzibur offers one Shmana Esrei. So Anias Amen is Likuve, because that's the audience participation. Rav Soloveitchik said, when he said it over, in the outside Rosh, he brought a Raya, that by the Brachas, the Klov, the Hagris, Maharevon, says, we only call home Yamru Amen. When the Levim at Hagriz Ma'arevel said all the Yudah, the Brachas, and Klos, everybody said Amen. So he asked the question, why do you have to say Amen? Shemei Ka'ina. If you're paying attention, it's considered as if you said Amen. So the answer is no. It was a Brachas, a Klos, a Shel Tzibur. Because it was a Dover Shel Tzibur, so he needed Anias Amen Liku. That you can dig with the Raya, maybe Anias Amen there is Betaris Shvua, because the Gemara has an expression, Mujba Liyani Mahasinai. The Kabbalah Satara Hasina was based on a Shvua. So maybe Anias Amen is both Shvua. So on the Kabbalah, the Brachas and the Klavas. That's, when you say Amen, that's like a Shvua. So there, no one's going to say Shemei Kohen by a Shvua. Someone else says a shwan, I just have in mind. Of course you need anias amen, but that's what the Rav suggested. Maybe the mocker that anias amen is likuva by a maimed shel tzibur is from a hagrizim and a harevim. So it's really a problem. It's really a problem in the shul. After Kiddush in the morning, so someone says out loud, Ala Michya, and then he says out loud, Bar Nefoshes, because a lot of people are herring and other things, so the Baruch Achron is Bar Nefoshes, and not Yotze on the herring, and not Yotze with Ala Michya. So the din is that you can't be mighty other people. Yeah, but the Taz explains, but we're concerned people don't know Ala Michya by heart, and a lot of people are going to walk away without saying Bar Nefoshes. So there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. If one is a seifer, one is a boor, if the person does know how to say the Baruch Achreina, then the Vilna Gaon said, we revert back to the Din Daraisa. Then we revert back. You do say Shemei Ko'ena. You do say Shemei Ko'ena. That's how the Vilna Gaon explained. So we're afraid that people are going to walk away without saying Bar Nefash, without saying Ala Michya. So the task, since there's a shita that b'di'eved yoytzeh, there are 2 days. What if b'di'eved, let's say the person has a sitter, he doesn't want to bother to get a sitter and to say alamich, he's just going to walk away without. So there's an opinion that that the b'di'eved, since b'shas ha'tchak v'neikol, usually b'shas ha'tchak k'di'eved, so b'shas ha'tchak v'neikol, to revert back to the din deraisa of Shemei Kohen, it does apply. So b'di'eved, even if it wasn't b'shas ha'tchak, should also be good. So that's what the Taz explains the practice is, but it's not really right. Really, more correct is everybody should say their own Ala Michya. They should say their own Bar Nefoshes. So it's getting back again. I left off in the middle. So Rab Chaim had this deal. Rab Leib Malan has the same deal. And the Rambam, there seem to be 3 cases where Anias Amen is Leikuva. So 2 of the 3 are by Benchim Mezumen and by Chazara Sashat, because you want to have a Dovah Shel Tzibur. So here, when the Rambam writes the din shnam shachal mitzvah lecholik, but if it's seifer bor, seifer mevorach, and the bor aina amen, and he's yaitze. So why did Rambam write that the bor is aina amen? Even if he's not aina amen, is also good. The Rambam already wrote it in Perek Aleph, in Hilchas Brachas, he wrote, whenever you hear a bracha, you should say amen. Certainly Mosav, if you want to be yaitze with the bracha, certainly lechatchid, you should say amen. Kol aina amen, kiv haitzi bracha mipiv dami. But the Yevid, even if you didn't say amen, you also be yaitze. Why did Ram have to write it again over here? Just repeating and same thing. So Rabbi Yossi Adler sent me an email that he heard from the Rav. Maybe there was a machlekes on that daf and brachas memhei and beis, where the shnayim she'achlu is a there's no chayv lezamin. Is it a rishus or not? So we pass and it's not a rishus. But if it's chadseif ve'chad bur, then in that case. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe in that case, how can he be mitzi then? But with the Rabbanim, we don't allow Shemei Koina. So the Vilna Gaon said, B'shas HaTchakiv, you read back to the Din Daraisa. B'shas HaTchakiv, Yevidami. And sometimes B'shas HaTchakiv, more kal than the Yevid. Okay? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe since the Rambam says, the Sefer says, the benching, and the Bor says, Amen, maybe if it's a B'shas HaTchakiv, then we do allow a Zimun by Shnayim. If you have a sefer and a mevur, does he say Baruch Shacham Shlov Tuvach Ayinu? The bench mezuman? No, you revert back to the Din Daraisa and you say Shemei Koina. So Rabbi Yossi Adler from Tinek suggested. He said the Rav Soloveitchik suggested that since the Rambam says that the boor should answer Amen, then it means that the Rambam understood that it's a din of mezuman, and they should before they start the bench, and they should say Baruch Shacham Shlov Tuvach Ayinu. To enhance the benching, that's quite a chiddush. But it's based on the fact that the Rambam said that the boor answers on it. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Maybe tomorrow we'll learn all the dinim that we left out about the Netilas Adayim, and then we'll continue. Some more about Netilas Adayim. There isn't so much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Come on back to the boss of the Chalav. Okay. Very good. Tomorrow's a normal day? No? What, 12:45?
Yes.
Rebbe,